Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark and at chapter 10. The Gospel according to Mark at chapter 10, and we might read there at verse 46. Mark 10, reading at verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. As the Lord would help us this evening, we might consider together verse 52, where we read, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now when Bartimaeus was led out of Jericho to the place where he was going to beg, he surely never dreamed of the change that would take place that day. He left his home in Jericho a blind beggar. And his life was revolutionized by the meeting of Christ. There he was. He heard that this man was passing by. Perhaps he had heard something of what he had done for others. And he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wants relief. This man, he's able to help. He can help me. He can give me sight. May he show mercy on me, not just give me money, but sight. And it seems that nothing's going to happen. The crowd are telling him to keep quiet, to stop making such a noise. Jesus himself seems to be carrying on his way towards Jerusalem. But he cries out despite discouragement. He cries out despite the discouragement which comes from his own condition. Who can give the blind sight? He cries out despite discouragement from Jesus, who doesn't seem to be hearing him. He seems to be ignoring him, dealing with others. He cries out despite the discouragement he receives from the crowd. And the Lord stops. The Lord summons him to come. And he responds. He listens to the call. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. And he immediately responds. He comes to Jesus. He asks him for his sight. The sight is given to him. And he joins the crowd. And he follows Jesus as they are on their way to Jerusalem. But a change has taken place. His life will never be the same again. And friend, surely what we have here is a picture of what happens to people when they come to faith in Christ. Their life is turned upside down. We saw how, 2 weeks ago, we saw how it's very possible for someone to be discouraged when they are seeking the Lord. Discouraged because of their own condition. They feel dead and helpless and unable to exercise faith. What should they do? Cry out for mercy to Jesus, to God for help. They may be discouraged because others are converted and they are still unconverted. What should you do? Cry out for help. Cry out and persist. for the salvation of your soul. It may be for various reasons. Others are discouraging you, or you feel discouraged through others. But what should you just still do? Cry out for mercy. Be in the prayer place where Christ is, and where he calls in the gospel and calls people to himself. And as you hear that call going out, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do what Bartimaeus did. Respond immediately. Decisively. He throws away his outer cloak. He's up on his feet. He wants to meet this Jesus. He's going to ask for sight. And he won't be content until he's given it. Friend, keep on seeking the Lord until he saves your soul. Do not give up. Do not despair. Well, what happens when a person comes to Christ and is healed by Christ? They follow Jesus. And here is the Lord. Here is Bartimaeus. And we find him a follower, following Jesus in the way. And so we have here a description of someone who has come to faith in Christ, who's been healed by Christ, who's a follower of Christ, a disciple. And I'd like us this evening to notice why he was following the Lord. Why do people follow the Lord Jesus? Are you following him? Perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're not what would be called a follower. Perhaps you are very far from being that, and you see others and you wonder, why are they different? Well, let's notice Bartimaeus. And we can see four reasons why he followed Jesus in the way. First of all, he followed out of devotion to Christ. And then secondly, he followed as he desired the presence of Christ. Thirdly, he followed as he longed to learn from Christ. And then fourthly, he followed as he desired to bear witness to Christ. These four things. First of all then, notice, he followed out of devotion to Christ. Here he is, following Jesus in the way. And surely we can say that Bartimaeus was one who'd come to love Christ, because Christ had first loved him. Here he is. Surely he's devoted to Christ. That's why he's following him. Because you see, this Jesus had pity on him. Here he is, a poor, insignificant beggar. Perhaps one of the characters in Jericho, but nevertheless, really someone who's insignificant, no one knows about, few care about. His life is one of being a beggar. And here is this man who is an important teacher. Indeed, he is more than just an important teacher. He is the Lord of glory. And what's he done? He has stooped down. He stopped. He stood still. And he commanded him to be calmed. Why? Because he has pity upon him. And he is going to ask him what he wants, that he might have mercy on him. Friend, is it not true that we all by nature have impoverished ourselves through sin? That we all by nature are ruined through our fall into sin? That we're in a state of sin and misery because of our own folly and because of our own sin? And you see, if the Lord Jesus was to pass you by, if the gospel had never come to you, if it had never come to this island, if it had never come to you, you would have no complaint whatsoever against God that he had never sent the gospel or a preacher or the Bible to you. Because what do you deserve? What do I deserve? Well, we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And what we deserve is God's wrath and judgment now and forever. We have fallen into a state of sin and misery, and we could have no complaints if God passed by us and he left us to perish. On the day of judgment, no one will see. They were converted. I wasn't. Why not? Why didn't you work in me? The truth is that we've all fallen in sin. We're all rebellious against God. And we will not have him to reign over us unless God works in the heart. And how gracious he is, Christ. He stoops down to see the need of a poor beggar and helps him. And that is what God does in the gospel. He comes and he sends his gospel. Friend, the fact that you have been born in a place where the gospel has been sent is a token of God's mercy towards you. How kind he's been to you. The fact that you're able to hear the gospel when men in the world are unable to hear the gospel. Or if there is a church, so often the teaching of the gospel is so muffled and confused. The trumpet gives an uncertain sound and no one hears the call of the need of faith and repentance in Christ. But you get that. What a mercy. Make good use of it, friend. Make good use of it. In his pity, Christ draws near. Respond. Respond to him. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. And come to him. See, here's Bartimaeus. This rich, adorable Lord Jesus had pity on him. He stooped low. Well, what a wonderful Savior. Friend, as he had pity on you and drawn you to himself, you knew what you were worthy of. Don't you love him? Because of his mercy. Jesus had pitied him, but not only that, Jesus had made him whole. Here's Bartimaeus. And he has given his sight, a precious blessing, which we so readily take for granted. It's only when people lose their sight, they tend to realize what it means, how precious it is. And here he is, he can now see things he could not have seen before. He can enjoy the beauty of the creation. Imagine the situation. His eyes open. He can see. He can see all around him. He can see faces. He can see landscapes. He can see all sorts of things. But a new realm of experience breaks into his life. How thankful he must have been to Christ. And his following shows his devotion to Christ. He owes so much to him. And he wants to follow him. Dear believer, has Christ not opened your eyes? Has he not restored your spiritual sight? The God of this world blinds the eyes of those who do not believe, lest you should turn and be converted. The devil wants to keep people in spiritual darkness and to blind them and to keep them from faith in Christ. But the God who's called the light to shine out of darkness, he has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He opens the eyes spiritually. There was a time when you could make sense of the gospel. People commended Christ to you. He didn't understand it. They spoke of sin. Apart from monstrous crimes. He didn't see what all this was about. The thought of judgment and eternity, it seemed so irrelevant. But what happened? He opened your eyes. And these truths, these realities, which seemed so unreal became so very real. You could see them. You could make sense of them. You came to appreciate them. Think of Bartimaeus. His eyes open. He now sees clearly. You see all things clearly. Friend, you don't make sense of the gospel. What you need to do is ask for the Lord to give you spiritual sight. Realize your need to be born again. Your need to be renewed. The need for your eyes to be opened by His grace, by His Spirit. Do you complain now that there's so much you don't understand in the world even? So much it doesn't make sense. What happens when someone comes to Christ? Their eyes are open. And they're able to make sense of the world they live in. They're able to make sense of all things. Everything is new. You came to Christ. And the God who seems so distant is now surreal. The God who seems so perhaps aloof and hostile is now one who fills your heart with joy and gladness. You see something of His beauty and the beauty of the gospel. Indeed, is it not true for the believer? When they came to faith in Christ, the grass should be greener because it's the grass which God has made. And you see everywhere the handprints of the Creator, who is the Redeemer. Here's Bartimaeus, made whole. Made whole physically, surely made whole spiritually as well. He owes his salvation to Christ. The guilt of sin, the power of sin has been dealt with. Well, has He done this for me? Surely I love Him. Friend, has He done this for you? Did He do it at such a great cost through His own death on the cross? Is that what has enabled this to happen? Don't you love Him? Are you not devoted to Him? Because of His pity? And because He is the one who makes you whole? He follows Him surely also because he recognized Christ's claims in his life. Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And you'll notice he voluntarily falls. Why? Because Christ is the first priority. You wonder, why people are so devoted to Christ? It's because they have received His pity and they've been made whole by Him. And therefore they love Him. And they love what He loves. They hate what He hates. They want to serve Him. They don't want to serve self. They don't want to serve sin. You see, that's the genuine response to God's grace. Are you following the Lord? Are you devoted to Him? Devotion to Christ is what produces holiness. You know, there are those who say, how can it be that if we are saved by what Jesus did and not by what we do, if that's how we make up and atone, if that's how sin is atoned for, dealt with, surely it leads to a sort of casual indifference to holiness. You see, if you've got to earn your salvation, that will make you earnest in being faithful and obedient to God. But the truth is that a works religion, ritualistic religion, where you just follow a ritual and you do certain things, the ritual of the Pharisees or the ritual of Romanism or something like that, it never leads to holiness. What is it that leads to holiness? Love to God. Love for Christ. He's followed, you see. Because he was devoted to Jesus. Because of what Jesus had done for him. You'll never understand why people fall unless you see this devotion and you understand your need and you've come to follow him too. Secondly, notice, he followed as he desired the presence of Christ. We read that he followed Jesus in the way. What's he doing? Well, he's seeking the presence of the one he loved. Bartimaeus, surely he had a newfound love. This man meant so much to him. He had given him his sight. And appreciating what this man had done for him, how much he owed to him, he's attracted to him. He wants to be with him. He wants to be in the presence of the one he loves. Well, if we love people, we want to be in their presence. That's why he doesn't just go away. He follows them in their way because he loves this man and wants to be with him. How do you know if you're following the Lord? Well, you seek personal communion with Christ. You seek personal fellowship with him. And oh, nothing else do. You read the Bible. You pray. You come to church. You hear sermons. You read good books. Why do you do it? Is it not because you want to meet with Christ? You love him. And if you want to meet with the one that you love. And if you don't meet with him, there's something wrong. It may be that the Lord, as it were, has withdrawn himself for some reason or other. But whatever you feel you've missed out, if Christ is not there, all the means of grace, what are they designed for? For fellowship with Christ. And you see, here he is following. Because he wants his presence. Do you want his presence? Are you glad when he meets with you? Are you glad when you are conscious that he has presence and he is speaking to you, that he is showing himself in his glory or revealing his love to you? And when he's not there, do you say, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth"? There's someone who would love the beloved, they would come to the, perhaps have been away, they come to the home, they're looking for the beloved husband, beloved wife. For some reason, they're not there and they feel let down. Have you seen him? I want him. Well, he followed because he wanted his presence. He can't we say this? He only had eyes for Christ. Think of all that Bartimaeus had to take in. You and I can't imagine what it's like to be blind and then to see. Or to be deaf and then to be able to hear. Here's this man. There's so much to take in. There's a whole new world, as it were, breaking in because he has heard of things, but he's never seen these things, and now he can. But what's he doing? He's not looking around him to see the city that he lived in or the hills that are around him. He's following Jesus in the way. His eyes are only for Christ. He wants his presence. And he's following him closely because he wants to have his eye upon him. Believer, Are you following? Keep your eyes on Christ. This world is full of so many distractions. And it's so easy for us to become distracted. Our lives are busy. We get taken up with so many legitimate things. And yet sometimes these things can edge Christ out of our lives so that he's not as central as he should be. Your love to him grows cold. Your devotion to him wanes. Your perhaps reading of the scripture and prayer life, well, it's not what it once was. Perhaps even your keenness to be in the fellowship of God's people at the prayer meeting, not as it was then. Is that the way it is with you? Deal with it. Keep your eyes for Christ. Follow him. Think of what he has done for you. And if there are things that keep you from Christ, then pass them by. They might not be sinful, but don't let them dominate. You see, perhaps you're here today and you're wondering, well, why is it those who follow the Lord, they don't do this, they don't do that, and what's wrong with these things? Well, sometimes there's nothing wrong with these things. But they've learned this. These things can take over. And if you talk to the Lord's people, you'll find they all can see there were times in their lives when certain things began to take over, and they realized that to deal with them and say, nope, that's it. I don't want that to take over. It's ruining my relationship with Christ. But like a marriage, I suppose. In a marriage, things can intervene in the marriage relationship. And they can spoil it to a certain extent, and they have to be dealt with. Well, if you're here tonight and things have taken over, and things aren't with you as they should be with Christ, let your eyes be only for him. That you might be more and more devoted to him, seek his presence continually. A third reason why he followed. He followed out of devotion to Christ, and because he desired the presence of Christ, but surely also he longed to learn from Christ. Think of Bartimaeus. Here he is, this whole new world's opening to him. Because now he can see. And he must have many questions. What are things he had never seen before? But he's following Christ. Why? Because there are more important questions than what is this thing? What's that plant? What's this thing here? There are spiritual questions. And he wants those answered. Why do believers follow Christ? Because they see him as the fountain of truth. And the truths which matter most, he teaches much about. Yes, there are truths of science, truths of history, but a person can live life ignorant of science. Few of us will understand how computers work or how cars work. Some of the gadgets in the kitchen work. How certain toys that you children have work. We might not know much about history, but these things don't matter compared to certain truths. And those spiritual truths Christ teaches. And here's this man. He is able to teach. There's a reason to follow him. There's a reason to keep close to him and listen to him. There he is, the fountain of truth, the one who we can have confidence in. You know, the Christian is someone who is saved from much anxiety in life. But his life is full of questions. How should I live? What should I do? And when we turn to the Bible, what do we find? A sure guide. We find all that we need to know. We find the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God. But it's a perfect manual to tell us that. It tells us what we're to believe concerning God, what's our duty to our fellow man. It's a guide through life. And when we look to the Bible, we know the way to go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, then. Follow Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. There's a reason why He followed. That's why the Lord's people follow Him. They want taught. And the truths that matter, He teaches. Notice that He followed Jesus in the way. The Lord was going in a certain way. And Bartimaeus followed Him where He went. He followed after Jesus in the way. He's walking in His footsteps. He's going with Him. Where's He going? He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem, and there He is, as He is teaching His disciples, He's going to fall into the hands of His enemies. He's going to be crucified and rise again on the third day. So it might be a bit ominous as to why He's going there. There might be trouble there. Notice that Bartimaeus goes, even though there may be problems. What does that teach us? Those who follow Christ follow Him wherever He leads. And it might cause problems. It might lead to difficulties, as we thought of this morning. It might lead to persecution even. But you see, the Lord's people will gladly follow Christ and stay in the way, even if it leads to trouble. You wonder why? Because they know He is the good teacher. And His way is the right way. And the world's way is the wrong way. It's the way to life. They owe so much to Him. They follow Him in the way. Notice fourthly, He followed as He desired to bear witness to Christ. He desired to bear witness to Christ. We need to be followed Jesus in the way. Well, according to Luke, this is what happened. He received His sight and He followed Him, glorifying God, and all the people when they saw it gave praise unto God. He's following on. And He's joyfully bearing witness to what has happened. Here's Bartimaeus, and he's going on. He is telling people what Christ has done for him. He's telling people, this man has given me my sight. He's glorifying God. When the people saw it, when they understand what's happened, they give praise to God. In other words, here's someone who can't keep silent. And he is joyfully speaking of the Savior and commending the Savior and acknowledging what He has done. Friend, do you do that? Are you following the Lord? Do you not do it because you want to bear witness to Him? You want to acknowledge what He's done for your soul? Do you do that? Do you commend Christ to your loved ones? Do you commend Christ to your workmates? Do you commend Christ to your neighbors? You see, there's Bartimaeus, and he's speaking of what God has done for him. Do you speak of Christ and of what He's done to those who follow also? You see, He's joyfully witnessing. He can't get over what God has done for his soul. Now his was a dramatic change. And that no doubt helped him as he spoke about what God had done for him. It was so obvious. Perhaps God did that for you. And one reason you follow is to bear witness and to joyfully speak of this Christ. Perhaps you're here tonight and, well, you're following. And then at times you wonder if you're a true believer because, well, the Lord hasn't dealt with you dramatically. You're waiting for a dramatic experience like this, or like Saul of Tarsus in Damascus Road. And friend, you're not going to get such a thing, though you might wait for it and long for it. But are you following Christ because you know he's a fountain of truth? Are you following Christ because, well, he is the one who matters most to you? Are you following Christ because, well, you know that he alone is the Savior and you're relying upon him? Bear witness to these facts. Bear witness to these things. And keep on following him. And follow him, desiring to bear witness, bearing witness to him. And speaking of what he means to you. Now you wish you would mean, you perhaps even might have a greater certainty. But keep on speaking of him. And as you commend him to others, you commend him to yourself and encourage yourself. He's not a secret witness. Friend, don't be a secret witness. Don't be a secret disciple. Rather, follow and bear witness. Notice his witness was a God-centered witness. We read that he followed glorifying God, and when the people saw it, they gave praise unto God. He's not saying, look at me. I can see, I can see. It's wonderful. It's not a man-centered. Me, 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 look at me. Rather, he's glorifying God. It's a case of, this is what God has done for me. He's acknowledging God's goodness, God's mercy, God's provision. Yes, it stirs up others to praise. No doubt he was commending and speaking about what God had done for him. That others who were in that crowd might come to trust in this Savior. Friend, listen to the testimony of others. Perhaps you know that there are those who have something you don't have. You feel a bit jealous of them. You wish you had that. It's good to be aware that they've got something you don't have. What should you do? Seek it. And ask God for it. Seek, realize your own need. And come to know this one who alone is able to give spiritual life, spiritual sight, deliverance from sin, and trust yourself to him. He followed that he might be a witness. Listen to the witness of others as it speaks to you. Well, are you following? Have you cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me? You'll never be devoted. You'll never love Christ until you come to him like Bartimaeus and cry out for mercy and deliverance from sin, from its guilt and from its power, then cry out. Then you understand what it means to be a follower. And you, by the grace of God, will be enabled to follow him, the one who you need to follow, if you would know life eternal, if you would know deliverance from the judgment to come. God grant that it might be said of all of us that we follow Jesus in the way. Let us pray.